thank you for coming out this evening. It's a blessing that you've come to hear the Word of God proclaimed this evening. We're going to look at that subject of to walk by faith, not by sight. But before we open the Scriptures, let's pray, shall we? Loving Father, we pray even as we have come all this evening by faith. Father, truly we just pray that that is the expression of each one's heart. That, Father, we have desired to be in the house of the Lord to worship. Pray, Father, for any who may be outside of Christ, that that one would flee to Christ for salvation this evening. But, Father, we are grateful for the blessed Word of God. Thank you for the Lamb of God. Thank you for that sacrifice on Calvary's tree. Thank you for that home in heaven. Thank you for the encouragement of singing about these blessed hymns, these traditional, solid, Bible-based hymns concerning heaven. Father, we look forward to that great home and we wait to see our blessed Saviour face to face. Oh, what a day that will be. Father, we just pray now as we, on this earth, walk by faith, not by sight. We pray we may be able to understand more of that principle even this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Concerned the way the world's going today with the worldview and the way that theology, beliefs, systems, society, standards, governments, everything seems to be on this massive shift towards a worldview, and it's all based on that temporal, what we see, not on the absolutes of the Word of God. My concern is that it can infiltrate our lives and that we begin to walk by sight and not by faith. And that's the thought for this evening. We're going to look at that subject of walking, then walking by faith, and walking by faith, not by sight. Those three basic thoughts. In the last month or two, I've been thinking about the subject of faith. A month or two back, we looked at the subject of how important of your faith is your faith. But on the mission statement on the bulletin each week, and I won't ask you to repeat it word for word, but it's a good thought to just reflect upon it. What is our mission as our church? Our mission is to glorify God by making Christ-like disciples through worshipping biblically, building faith, serving others, and impacting the world with the transforming power of the gospel. We're looking at serving others and then the realization of faith needs to be built. The Lord, the disciples said to the Lord, increase our faith. That was in Luke 17:5. They had the honesty to say, Lord, increase our faith. I realize that my faith needs to be increased. I need to be strengthened in my faith. And I'm asking questions, how strong is my faith? How strong is your faith? Are we letting sight control the direction and focus of our lives? And what does it mean to walk by faith, not by sight? Firstly, the thought of walking. Some of us love to walk. Some jog. Some run, some sprint. Some of us at our age or our body structure, we think, no, walking, I need to do something. I see the Olympic race, the walking race, and I'd hate to be an umpire for to define what's walking and what's running. And you see sometimes the flag come up to say you've been disqualified. You're out and all the distress and the heartache that it's no longer a walk. And sometimes we have that narrow definition of a walk, or we talk about, yes, I walk to the shop or I walk to church or I walk to the neighbour's place this afternoon. Walking is good, but sometimes we just focus upon that narrow perspective. But here we read about, for we walk by faith, not by sight, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk. And that word walk is a broader word that signifies the whole round of activities of our individual lives. It's not like walking to the shop, it's looking at that whole round of activities of the individual life. It's not narrow. Thus in Scripture we have verses like Ephesians 4:1, to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. To walk is that the whole round of activities of the individual life, that we're to make sure that that a whole round of activities fit within the worthiness of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Galatians 5:16, to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfil the lusts of the flesh. That same thought, that sphere of activities related to walking in the Spirit. Romans 6:4, to walk in newness of life. To walk humbly with thy God, Micah, verse 6 and verse 8. And it's looking at the sphere of our lives, not just one encounter from point A to point B. It's that total sphere of activities. It's that journey. It's that progression. It's that walk. It's that progress. And there's that goal, and whether it's a goal in mind that is there related to those activities or it's our walk of life, we are looking at that total perspective saying, Lord, I want it to be according to my vocation, which is a Christian. I'm in Christ. I want it to be in the Spirit. I want it to be in newness of life. I want it to be humbly with my God. And also we read here that it's walking by faith. And that second thought now, that we add the words by faith. So it's not just walking in general, it's to walk by faith. And this specific element of faith is added, and it highlights the importance of faith. Could you please keep a mark in 2 Corinthians 5, or you may have memorized it already, for we walk by faith, not by sight. But in Hebrews chapter 11, and it's verse 6 we're looking at specifically here, but we'll look at verse 1 later on, and verse 5 leads on to verse 6. So it might be good if I read that portion from verse 1 to 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we say, for we walk by faith, faith is an important element. Faith is a necessary element. It's a requirement in respect to the Christian walk, because without faith, we cannot please God. And the one who comes to God by faith must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you are going down that pathway of my faith, my trust. It's totally in the very Lord God of heaven. And that's where my faith is. So it's a walk of faith, which is foundational to the walk of a Christian. It's by faith we become a child of God. In Galatians 3:26, we read, children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Going back 30 years ago, there was a group in the city called the Children of God. And they claimed that they were children of God. And if you were of that era, like me, you can identify with very much from an alternate culture and lifestyle. and living standards, and yet they were living their standards according to their definition that they were children of God. But from the scriptures we read that we are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And to be a child of God, you need to have exercised that faith in Jesus Christ. We need to walk by faith. Faith is essential for someone to walk and to please God. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It's not the deeds of the law that will save us, it's faith. So we need to be children of faith. We need to walk by faith because that is foundational to someone understanding and knowing God and pleasing God and knowing that that reward is from God, because that faith walk has been placed in Him and in Him alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Hebrews chapter 11, if you're still there, we read that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know the word faith, but it is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance means foundation or title deed or assurance. On a church property, you have title deeds to say that the church owns this property. The title deeds are the assurance or the foundational document to say who owns a property. Next door's property would have title deeds to say who owns that property. The same this side. But with faith, it's the title deed or the foundation, the assurance of things hoped for. And that thought of hope for is not, oh, I hope it happens. It's that unseen reality of that which will be coming to pass. And that which is hopeful because we know that unseen reality. So faith is that title deed that a believer has, that he or she understands that faith is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone as the evidence or proof or conviction of things not seen. And that's a key thought, because we're going to be looking at a moment at we walk by faith, not by sight, because it's the things not seen, the things that are in glory that we're looking at, because we know that that's where God is taking us, and that's the reality of where we are heading. And we're not, even in this world, there are things that are not seen. But yet, by faith, we understand the pathway that God is leading us through in this world. Because it's by faith, and it's trusting God, even in the midst of that unseen world. It's believing God with the word of God. And it's by faith going ahead and believing God in our walk and in his counsel and walking in the pathways that he would have us to walk by faith. In Psalm 1, if you could please turn there, and as we're turning, if I just mention that it's walking by faith, listening to God, trusting God, placing that faith in God even in your walk, not just for salvation, but also in your walk. You are placing that faith in the very God of heaven as you walk through life. And in Psalm 1, it's this whole thought of our faith and our counsel is from God, not from the world. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows God knows the heart of man. God knows that our counsel should be from God. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. Our faith is in the Lord God of heaven, and that's the direction in which we want to go. William Carey, the great missionary to India, went by faith. And on the day that he preached the message saying that God's laid it on my heart to go to India to preach the gospel, there was someone in the audience who said to Carey, Mr. Carey, God's going to save those ones in India without you. He doesn't need you. And the whole negativism, the pessimism, the doubting, the things, the spanner in the works can be thrown in your sight. And yet Carey said, I believe that God would have me to go forth to preach the gospel. And sometimes we've got to go beyond that zone of fear or that zone of comfort and say, if the Lord's laying something on my heart, whether it's going next door to preach the gospel or down the road or to the corner to preach the gospel, or in that outreach to believe God and to go forth. Carey said that we ought to expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. And that needs to happen. And that's that part of walking by faith, not by sight. If we walk by sight, we'd say, I'll withdraw into my huddle. Because out there, there'll be criticism, there'll be thoughts, there'll be people, there'll be comments. But yet Carey was willing to trust God and to walk by faith, not by sight. And that's the thought that we'd like to look at now, that is by faith, not by sight. And Paul's testimony was that he didn't want to live his life by sight. If we could please return to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. It's, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we read that we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That was the Apostle Paul's heart, that he wanted to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. That's at a time of death. This whole passage, verses 1 to 8, speaks of being clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. It speaks there in verse 1 of this tabernacle or this tent being dissolved, and that we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's verse 1. It's that home in heaven that's for every believer who is in Jesus Christ. That's the home. And the Apostle Paul is saying in verse 8, I'm confident, and I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I've witnessed to people and they've said that we are just a body. What happens to me when I die and I'm in the grave and that's it. And I still remember a man who said those very words to me. And It's with grief you hear those words, but they say it. Some people can say we're not more than a body. But, you know, God gave us the breath of life and man became a living soul. There's an immaterial part of man and we've got a soul that we relate with the mind, intellect and will. And yet we've also got the spirit that relates to God. And that sphere with God, we're talking there with the spirit and soul about the immaterial part of man. But we've also got the shell, the body, the tabernacle, the tent. And the body will be placed in the grave, but the real person has departed to be with Christ, which is far better. And the Apostle Paul knew that. And his desire was that he wanted to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. He knew that was before him. In verse 6 we read, being confident, knowing that, whilst we're at home in the body, we're at home in the body. So it's the real person, Paul, at home in the body. He's absent from the Lord. He's not with the Lord at this stage. He's in the body. It's the real person. And if you're here without Christ, then you have to see that you are a person, that you need to be saved. And it's not your body we're talking about. It's you. It's your person, the immaterial part of men and women who need to be saved. This is a tabernacle. This is a tent. This is a shell that will be discarded. In fact, it talks about it in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. That's in chapter 4, 16. Still within this whole context. We faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet would the inward man is renewed day by day. And the outward man can perish, but the inward man, the real person, can be renewed day by day. The testimony, Pastor Matthews, of Brother Surrett this morning, he made no reference of the cancer. He just wanted souls to face on God. Spoke to a Sam this morning, and his daughter goes to Victory Baptist Church. And I rang Sam because he's got cancer as well. And I said, "Do you know Francois?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Are you available to come and hear him this morning?" And he said, "I can't." And he told me then about the side effects of the chemo he's had this week. When you hear about the side effects, you realise that the outward man can perish, but the inward man can be renewed. And that's what life's about. And we don't live our lives by sight, we live it by faith, because that lifeless body, or that body that's going through those processes of chemotherapy, will break down. And yet the real person is being renewed, and that spirit, that heart. And this man, Sam, Pastor, is an incredible man. His eyes are to the Lord, just like Francois. The eyes are towards the Lord. Another person I spoke to this week is going through a hard physical time. And that person said, "God's cruel. God's cruel. Put me through what I'm going through at the moment." And that person's not saved. But the third was, "God's cruel." And I said to that one that our bodies are going to break down, and our bodies will perish, our bodies will be dissolved, our bodies will decay. Man is more than a body, but the body is the shell, body is the tent. We're going to perish, it's going to dissolve, it's going to break down. We will have these trials. We're in a fallen world and our bodies will break down. But you need to have your heart right with God. You need to be saved. You, the real person, needs to know the Lord. Don't lose heart. The chemotherapy, the body in the grave, it's not the end. It's life beyond. It's renewing of what's in here and the being ready for God, to meet God. It's a blessed truth. Did you notice that 2 Corinthians 5:7 is in parentheses? We normally say brackets. But it's in parentheses. It's in brackets. Why? The Apostle Paul is, I believe, just bringing out this whole point that, and when you use parentheses or brackets, you're saying, look, verse 6, we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, but I'm confident that when I'm absent from the body, I'm going to be present with the Lord. And then it says, in brackets, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And he's saying that that's what we do. It's a reminder. It's a statement of that fact. It's a statement of this truth. It's there as a fact that's being, this is what we're talking about. that I'm following through an argument here, and in the midst of it all, we're saying this important point of this reminder, this fact, and these facts illustrate this point. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We're not living our lives by that, what we see. We're living our lives by faith, and we're looking to God. We're not living our lives by the things of this world. Chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, we read there about, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the Apostle Paul is saying the things that are not seen are eternal, and that's where we're heading. And the things that are seen are temporal. So we're not living our lives on the basis of the things that we see in this fallen world. We're living our lives on the basis of those eternal aspects and those points of glory that are beyond. And the Apostle Paul talked about the light affliction, which is but for a moment, that it worketh for us a full... What light afflictions? We'd have to qualify that word light, I think. The Apostle Paul related in chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The Apostle Paul was testifying, and he'd gone through many trials and tribulations, but his heart wasn't on. Pastor Matthews was reminding me just a month or two back, we were just sharing with someone and just talking, and he was talking about the Psalms, and it was just beautiful because he said that there was King David, and it wasn't King David at the time, but it was David. And there was Saul, who had it in for David. No cause for David to have this onslaught or this victimization or this targeting by King Saul. And yet Saul just withdrew, and yes, he reflected his heart in those psalms, and he'd reflect about the heartache of the moment and the pain and the hurt and the distress, and yet his eyes would turn around and he'd say, yet my faith is in the Lord. My trust is in the God of heaven. He is my rock and my fortress. And his eyes would be upon the Lord, for he saw beyond the things that are seen to the things that are beyond, the things that are eternal. Brother Surrett this morning talked about that whole thought of Romans 8:35-39, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And he read through the list of things that are there, but he said nothing shall separate us from that love of God. And here he is with the cancer challenge, and yet he's saying that nothing can separate us from the love of God. God's love is constant. And if you know God, then you will walk by faith, not by sight, because your eyes will be on the eternal, not on the temporal, because the temporal will pass away. Brother Surrett said, shall perilous events separate me from the love of Christ? No. Will violent changes in our experiences, violent changes in our experiences do not separate us. Love is not altered, and that's God's love is not altered. The love of God is unaffected by extreme changes. And it is a matter of walking by faith and not by sight. And in the midst of those moments, and it might be that lifeless body, it might be that radiation, it might be those exam results, it might be, who knows what it may be in this fallen world, it may be financial needs, huge, and yet the temptation comes that maybe you can deceive, or maybe you could cheat, or maybe you could get the results and hide it in your jacket and have it when you're doing the next exam, so that sight will, you live by sight, not by faith. And instead of learning and committing things to God, you try to do things your way, the undercover way, to try and deal with these issues that are confronting your world by sight. I'm not saying you don't do anything, because that one may need to study harder, may need to acknowledge a cheating history, may need to go down that pathway of some diligence and getting some order and routine in a life. There are things that need to be done, but merging within that whole thing, we're living by faith, not by sight. We're going forth to the God of heaven. I think of Job, and Job had gone through many things. He had lost so much, and we don't have time to open up on that now, but he was looking upward. And it was, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His eyes were upward. He was heading in that pathway and in that direction to the glory of God. And we won't open up Abraham with in Hebrews 11, but he set out and he knew not where he was going. But he obeyed and he followed God, and he was seeking that city whose builder and maker is God. Noah prepared the ark, and, you know, and when you consider that there would have been the mockers there and those who made fun, and yet he was on his mission. He was by faith doing that which God would have him to do. In Hebrews 11, and I challenge you to read it, and it talks about the great heroes of the faith who subdued kingdoms. They achieved great and glorious things for God. And yet we read in that same portion of Hebrews chapter 11, there were others who had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. And there were those who suffered. There were those who conquered, yes, and there were those who suffered. When you read books like Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you read about the martyrs, and you realise what those godly men and women went through, they did it in faith, not looking by sight, but looking at that which was beyond. I pray that we may do that. Moses in Hebrews 11 had many things in his sights before him in that land of Egypt. And they're there listed. And he said, no, I'd rather suffer reproach with the children of God than the pleasures of Egypt there for a season. And he charted his course to follow God. Yet on the other hand, Eve, she saw the fruit, that it was good to the eyes. She partook. It was by sight, wasn't it? It was by sight. We have to be careful that we don't live our lives by sight. If we lived our lives by sight, Demas loved this present world. Is that by sight or by faith? Don't go down that pathway of sight. I beg of you, just say, Lord, I want to keep my eyes focused upon you. As personally and as a church, are we building faith? Are we looking to the Lord? Are we saying, Lord, I want to expect great things from thee. I want to attempt great things for thee. I want to go forth walking by faith, not by sight. My desire is, because sometimes we can be overwhelmed by circumstances. And we say, oh, you know, woe is me, God's cruel. But as Brother Francois brought out, God's not cruel. God has not changed. We go through trials. As I shared with that one with whom I spoke, our bodies are frail. They're going to decay. They're going to break down. We will go gradually into disorder. We need to see God through it all. Our sights are not on this eternal security or praise of men or to feel good or to be comfortable. They're all things of sight. They're all things of self. They're all things of now. They're all things of the flesh. But God would have us to go forth believing the promises of God. And that's what it's all about, believing the promises of God. That's what Noah did. That's what Abraham did. That's what Moses did. They went forth believing God for his glory. Well, I pray that we may say, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. That's my prayer. Even for this year, Lord, increase my faith. May I go forth to your glory. And I trust that it's your faith. But if you're here without Christ, I just pray that you see that first point. And it was only brief. But you need to be justified by faith, not by the works of the law. You need to be saved. You need to be a child of God. You need to have come to that point of saying, Lord Jesus, save me from my sin. For I know that I've fallen short. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I need a Saviour. And I pray that you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, even this evening. But for those who are Christians, I just trust that we may walk by faith and not by sight. Don't be deceived by this world, but look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to get our sights there. The just shall live by faith. And really we need to go forth and walk by faith, not by sight. Let's pray, shall we? Loving Father, only you know the hearts of each individual, and we just pray that hearts may be focused upon thee. Father, may, if it is a prayer on someone's heart, increase our faith, Lord. Pray that they'll be in the scriptures and the word and relate to God and determine in the sphere of their journey, the sphere of their individual path, they'll look to thee and say, Lord, may I be walking not by sight, but by faith. May I be like those in Hebrews 11 who went forth by faith. Thank you for the assurance of things hoped for. Thank you for the evidence of things not seen. Father, we just praise you for the testimony of the word of God and pray that we may go forth in faith to your glory and to your honour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we please turn to our closing hymn 425, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary. And I pray that if the Lord's ministered to you tonight, pray that you'll talk to Pastor or Mrs. Matthews or to me or to the one who brought you, to someone afterwards concerning these very matters concerning Christ. 425, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. There's no one else to whom we can look but to the Lord. 425.